seen a pre-church service go. Praise the Lord. May I go ahead and steal this and speak from here? Is that okay? I do have a few little cleanup items, if it's okay, or I say cleanup, but a little advertising and things. We left Janine and I in the back. There's a little, we call a gift catalog. It gives you an idea out in the foyer of where Adventist World Radio works to some extent. Some of the projects, some of the things that are going on. Another one is the Making Ways program I do. It's got a couple full-length programs. I think they're about 30-minute programs. And then about six or eight little ones, just really cut down to little short snippets of some of the testimonies. I think I've got a Maasai witch doctor on there that, he was an interesting guy. And some other stories anyway I think you'll like. And then stories from Adventist World Radio. There's three different books. They all are blue and white in color, but they have different pictures on them. Different stories in each one of those. Feel free to take those. And then, let's see, I've got it. I had it. There it is. Oh, well, I'm fairly warm. This started out as red, and when you get it hot, it turns white. So it's just like the blood of Jesus. When the blood of Jesus flows over you, you know, it changes you nice and white. So I've got those pencils out there, too. You might like them. The kids, the grandkids, I think I've got enough out there. Oh, a couple of them. Somebody got some already. All right. So feel free to take those, and then we're going to take if there's still quite a few left when we go, we'll probably take those and give those to our daughter who is going to be going up to the Wairika Church and leave them a few too. One other thing did everybody get one of these? Going to pass it out now, okay. This is just a little self-promotion basically as far as the product that my wife and I worked on and I worked on. It's called Transformation. And I went through my Bible at one point in time and highlighted all the places that talks about God's power to change us, God's power and his desire to lift us higher and higher, his desire to make us from what we've been into royalty. You realize that in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, it says, to him who overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne. Think about that. But God has to change us from what we are to what he wants us to be. And it's all about that power of God to do that very thing. So I wrote a book called Transformation. Then the Review and Herald said, you know, you need to do a study guide. Okay. Started working on a study guide. It had so much material that it put totally different material in it. So the study guide really doesn't reflect the book exactly, but it looks at the same beautiful diamond, as it were, of transformation from a different facet, from a different angle. It's 5 days a week for 12 weeks. And I guarantee you that the person who starts the study guide will not be the person who finishes the study guide. And I think the one who finishes will be a whole lot better than the one who started. And then we also did a 12-episode television / DVD series. And that's called Remodeling Your Life, God's Transforming Power. Now, I'll tell you a little secret. This got the Review and Herald on it. The Review makes the money regardless. But if you go to a website called ChristianBooksBibles.com, plural on both, BooksBibles.com, way cheaper, way cheaper. Now, someone today said, boy, I didn't know you live so close here. Well, we really don't. It was told we live in Maryland, work in that area out of Silver Spring at the General Conference, and we're the radio mission arm of the World Church, Adventist World Radio. But Janine was born in the Dunsmuir area, and I was born in the Mount Shasta area. That's our roots, just up the hill from you. So, you know, it feels like we're absolutely home when we get here. And, but, you know, I can remember, and actually in a book of my life story, I put this little story in. I was buying drugs in San Francisco one time, and I was bringing it up here to have a guy who was going to sell it at COS. The time has gone past, so I really can't get busted for it now, but... I and this guy were so loaded, we stopped on Interstate 5 below Red Bluff someplace in one of the long flat areas and got out and just laid on the highway and just looking out there to kind of watch the lights of the traffic coming. You know, nowadays you definitely have more traffic out there on I-5. But, I used to be a drug dealer, an alcoholic, and a thief. I didn't look quite like I look today. But then God one day reached into my life and totally said, Hey, you. There's something far better here than what you're going through in this life. And praise God. Just praise God. He was right. You know, and that's what's so cool about God. He's always right. And he has the power to do it. I didn't have the power to get off the stuff. I didn't have the power to change, but God does. And when we actually invite him into our lives, then the transformation happens. And it's all about God. Well, now today, Adventist World Radio, I don't know, how many really know what AWR does? Some of you, quite a few of you, praise the Lord. You know, we broadcast using shortwave, AM, FM, internet, podcasting. Now, podcast, how many of you know what podcasts are? Yeah, quite a few, less of you raise your hands. You know, really, it's more of a young person's type thing. You download it to your smartphones, you download it to different type things off the internet, then you can listen anytime you want. Well, we started podcasting about 3 years ago. And it is amazing. We just finally got the software the other day to kind of track what's happening. This year alone, we believe there's going to be about 1.7 billion, that's with a B, downloads of our programs. 600,000 a day in China alone. It's illegal. 600,000 a day inside of China. Saudi Arabia is one of our biggest downloading countries. Totally illegal. And we were able to determine with this new software that in Saudi Arabia, some of the people are using a satellite link to download the programs because it's totally untrackable. Can't track it. However, it's very expensive. Our global chief engineer guesstimated that a couple months ago alone, just in 1 month, they spent $64,000 in the satellite time to download the programs. Amazing. Who are these people? Well, typically podcasting, I say, is young. Saudi Arabia, it's illegal, and they're downloading by satellite, so they don't want anybody to know they're doing it, and they've got apparently a lot of money. That kind of says to us, maybe it's some of them, even maybe the royal family is listening to the gospel message. Amazing stuff is happening. The United States is the second biggest downloader of our programs in 157 languages and dialects. Think about that, 157 languages and dialects. And today I could bet you, I'm not a betting man anymore, I bet you $1,000 so you could never guess what language is the number one downloaded language last month in the United States. Let's see, do I even have my count on here? No. Well, the Maasai language. The Maasai. Now I've been out there and I've danced with the Maasai ladies, you know. I've thrown spears with the Maasai warriors. But it's here in the United States, they're here and they're listening to the gospel program. It is just astounding what God is doing. The second biggest downloaded program here in the United States is from the Afar people. Now the Afar people are out in the east side of Ethiopia, mostly Muslims. I've posed with some of those guys with their AK-47s, big old knives in their belt. They're not a sweet people. They're listening to the gospel here. They're here in the United States and they're listening to the gospel. God is doing amazing things. Now, shortwave. Why do we use shortwave? Everybody pretty much thinks shortwave is absolutely archaic. You know, it's kind of worthless. But it's what we utilize to get into the hardest to reach areas of the world, especially those countries that don't want us in there at all. Because shortwave, you broadcast the signal up, it bounces off the ionosphere about 100,000 feet up in the air, bounces back to the Earth, it'll go all the way around planet Earth. Boy, I could tear this thing off, you know. It kind of sorry for the playing around today. Just doesn't seem like it wants to stay there. And you could receive it from this way. So it goes all the way around, and you can bounce it into the mountains and all the hardest to reach places of Earth. So that's why we use shortwave. It is still very viable in many of these countries. And then, of course, AM and FM, when people move from the more remote places into the cities, then FM becomes the standard. For instance, we broadcast on 1,600 FM stations across all of Russia, all of the time zones of Russia. And to see these people, many former communists, when they discover and hear about Jesus Christ, their hearts just melt. They're just so excited to hear about Jesus. So that gives you just a little bit idea of what we do. And now I want to tell you, bend it a little tighter here. I know I can't, it won't... See, my wife takes care of me, right? In one country that I still can't really divulge to you what it is, where we're broadcasting, but totally illegal. We tried to sneak a couple fellows up into this country. Now it's been about 6 or 7 years ago. One narrowly escaped with his life. The other was killed. And then some time later, we finally got a guy up in this area. And he gets up into this mountainous region of the country, and he discovers in this village, I say village, but they're huge, thousands of people actually. They're all animists, you know, they worship the rocks and the stars and the trees and the sky. They worship the creation, but not the creator. He got there, everybody's a Seventh-day Adventist. Everybody. And he went to the chief, he said, how did this happen? The chief said, one day a large man, an imposing figure with an aura of light, came into our village. He wanted to see the chief. I sat down with him. He sat right here. He pulled a radio from his clothes, tuned it to AWR, and said, listen to this. It'll bless you and your people. I took the radio, turned to the guy that was with me. We began looking at it for just a moment. We turned back, and he had vanished. There was only two trails in the village. I ran down one trail. The guy with me ran down the other trail. He was nowhere to be found. We took this as a sign we should do as he said, and we all fell in love with Jesus Christ. Now our guy got to a second village, and these villages are so far apart, they don't visit one another. Same story. Everybody's a Seventh-day Adventist. He went to the chief, said, how did this happen? Same story. Large man, imposing figure, great stature with an aura of light about him, carrying a radio. How many of you down here in the Shasta area have seen anybody with an aura of light about them? You know, anybody? Well, this was cool, but our guy got to a 2, 3, 4, 5, eventually 6 villages. Same thing, all same story, then another 6, then another dozen, then another dozen. All in these areas where they don't even talk with one another, they're so far apart. We believe in that area alone because of a being carrying a radio with an aura of light about them. There may be 300,000 to 400,000 Seventh-day Adventists now. Not on the church books, mind you, but on the books of heaven. And I will tell you, by the way, that you realize that simply a name on a church books does not equate to your name on the book of heaven. You realize that. Can be a big difference. Because, you see, Jesus is looking for people who fall completely in love with him. People whose hearts and lives are totally transformed by him. This is life eternal, Jesus said, that they might know me. And that know is the same as Adam and his wife knew one another, conceived a child, very personal, very intimate. God is looking for an intimate friendship and relationship and 100% surrender. 100%. What does that mean? Well, I do in the video, I do this little skit where I use a pastor, a friend of mine down in the Napa area. And he's retired now. He's got a big old white beard and he's got white hair. And he's standing alongside the road. I'm driving in a truck, standing on the road, and he's got a sign that says north. Got his finger out. I stop, pull up, say, hey, you going north, huh? Yep. Well, come on, get in. Nope. Well, you're going north. Yep. And you want a ride? Yep. Well, get in. No, I can't. Well, what do you mean you can't? What do you want? He says, I want to drive. I look at him and say, fine, and I take off. You see, this is the thing. God wants to drive. God does not want to be a passenger in our car. He wants to drive. That's 100% surrender. Every morning when we get up, say, God, you drive this morning. You drive my life today. You take care of my life today. I will follow you wherever you go today. This is the way, Jesus says, walk ye in it. That's surrender. And God, I tell you, the Lord is preparing to come very soon. He's doing so many things in just unbelievable ways. Young lady and her husband down in Sao Paulo, Brazil, driving along in the highway. All of a sudden, the wife says, stop, 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 stop. Oh, I don't know if, guys, if your wife ever does that to you when you're driving down the road or says something, you know, like this, it scares you half to death, you know, you slam on the brakes. That's just what happened to this young man. He slammed on the brakes, pulled over the side, says, what? She doesn't say a word. She jumps out of the car and she comes back. And she's got a book in her hands. Got a book. And he says, what are you doing? She says, honey. She says, do you see any wind outside? Look. No. He said, I don't see any wind. She says, honey, this book was sitting there, and the pages were blowing back and forth. Well, first one way, she said, then the other. And there's no wind. She said, I had to stop and see what the book was. And the two of them read the book. It was amazing, absolutely amazing, but there was not a bit of evidence of who to contact. Nothing. Well, the young man one day down in downtown Sao Paulo was riding along in his motorcycle, and all of a sudden in the bumper of the car in front of him, he sees an insignia, the very insignia that was on that book. He pulls up alongside the guy and he starts talking to the guy whose window was down a little bit. Now in Sao Paulo, when a motorcycle pulls up alongside you on a street, you don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to be around him. Guy rolls up his window. Soon as the light changes, man, the guy's off. Motorcycle's not going to be deterred. He whips in behind him. He follows him down the road. He's zipping in and out of traffic. They get up to another stoplight, and now the young man pulls up alongside him and knocks on the window. This freaks the guy out. The guy guns it through the red light. Motorcycle right in behind him. He's just taken off. He's running all over the place. They're going everywhere. And finally, the guy gets caught in traffic. Now the young man pulls up alongside him. He starts yelling as loud as he can at the top of his lungs. And the guy inside the car is a Seventh-day Adventist elder, and the young man is yelling, "Great controversy, great controversy." And as he rolls down the window, begins talking with the head elder of the church. They have Bible studies, and they were just baptized here a few months ago. All because of a book that was blowing without any wind, back and forth. Yeah, there was real wind, though, wasn't there? I believe wind of the Holy Spirit. We see God doing amazing things like that. We just had the World Church, the annual council, all the leaders come from all over the world, and Elder Wilson wanted a little celebration of the Great Controversy Project. 165 million copies distributed around the world, either in print or electronically. Can you say amen? I know that things are going to be happening from that. In our own lives, that was one of the first books I ever got, and I read that book and I thought, wow, who was this woman? Oh, she only had a third grade education. I said, you got to be kidding me. A third grade education? I couldn't even pronounce some of the words in it. And it was just an amazing book, and I was pretty much sold on this lady that helped guide the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And then Doug Batchelor, you know Doug Batchelor? That was the book that brought him into the church. David Asherick, book that brought him into the church. Clinton Wallin, a friend of mine who's the biblical research in the General Conference, book that brought him in. I think God is going to be doing amazing things through that book. We haven't seen anything yet how God's preparing the hearts and lives of people around the world. I talked to our producer in North Africa not long ago. This is a firsthand story. He said, you know, in this one area there, they're killing Christians right and left, hate Christians, in this one big city. But a pastor from this city gets a phone call, and it's kind of like calling up Jim Crabtree. Hey, Jim, come on down here. You know, everybody's getting killed down here. We'd like you to come anyway. Well, this pastor was, you know, yeah, it's my job, so he went. He's ready to knock on the door, and he realized this is the home of a Muslim. Now he's very nervous about it, but he knocks anyway. Fellow invites him in, and on the way back through the hall, the fellow says, I'm a Muslim imam. Now he knows for sure. They brought me here to kill me. He walks on in. He comes around the corner in the living room. There's 30 more bearded men sitting in there. He knows for sure now I'm a dead man. This is it. And while he's kind of trying to compose himself and be strong in the Lord, the fellow said, you know, he said, we brought you here today because we want you to secretly baptize all of us. Wow. Well, he says, I should study with you. No, no, the imam says. Now listen to this. No, no. God has sent his angel every single day to study with me in person, and I've shared with these men. We're all ready to be baptized. The pastor studied with them just for that day. They knew everything, and he baptized every one of them. God is doing mighty miracles. And I want to ask you today, how big is your God? How big is your God? Because as I read my Bible, we serve a mighty God, an amazing God, an incredible God, who is ready to pour out his Holy Spirit upon us to do great and mighty things so this work can be finished, so we can go home and end all of this mess. You know, why do we want to keep being here? This is not a happy place. This is not a happy place. I've got a friend that, have you ever heard of Canvasback Ministries? Canvasback, you know, they work out in Micronesia. Well, Jamie, this one time as a younger man, he was sailing, trying to find this island. And in those days, it took a sextant, no GPS, it took a sextant, and he wasn't very good at it. he wasn't very good at finding his way around something. He's sailing around and around, and he's looking everywhere, and he's saying, God, I can't find this place. Help me. And about that time, this bird comes down and flap, 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 flap on his head and sails off in the opposite direction. Strange. But he keeps sailing. He's praying, God, please help me. I got to find my way. Flap, 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 flap. Off he goes again. And now he thinks, could that have been from God? Isn't it interesting, you know, how a lot of times we have things in our lives and we pray for it and we don't even recognize it? You know, don't recognize the answer that's right there on top of our head. Well, he prayed a third time, Lord, if this is really of you, send that bird back and I'll follow. Flap, 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 flap. And that bird took off in the opposite direction he was sailing. He whips the boat around, sails for about a half an hour right to the very island he needed. You have trouble in life, need guidance and direction in life, talk to God about it, but then be willing to follow. Willing to follow, because God will reveal. You know, the Lord says an interesting thing. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Now, if you don't hear God speaking to you on some level, in some way, then you've got a problem at the very core of your Christianity, because God always speaks to his children, speaks to his people. We find it in the Old Testament. God spoke to his people. In the New Testament, anybody here today have a red letter edition of the Bible? Yeah. Whose words are those? The words of Jesus. Jesus came here and spoke to us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He still wants to communicate with us and speak to us, but especially today through his word. Paul says, as he's speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe it is, all scripture is given by inspiration. That inspiration, really the Greek is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. Now today, there's such a push to disregard scripture, disregard this part, disregard that part. Oh, I'm such a theologian, I can check it out and say, oh yeah, this part really doesn't apply, and this is really what they meant, On and on and on and on. No, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. We need to be following that word. God breathed. I think of when Jesus created Adam. He bent over Adam. Adam was still a lifeless form, just dust. And then he blew into him, scripture says, the breath of life. And Adam was a living being. A living being. Ezekiel stood out there in chapter 37 in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel looks over this big valley. It's full of dry bones. I don't know if any of you are hunters or if you spend any time out in the woods, but once in a while you find some old bones bleached out by the sun, you know. They're cracked and they're just bone dry. And that's what all these bones look like. And God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? He said, only you know, Lord. And the next thing, God breathes on these bones. And all of a sudden they come together, there's life. You having problems in your Christian walk with God, your Christian experience? Get into God's word and your life will be changed. Get into God's word and he will breathe upon you the breath of life. And your experience will change. Not might, maybe, could be, will change. Guaranteed. Guaranteed, because God wants to make you royalty. Royalty. No matter what you've done, no matter what your life is like right now, God's going to take you from here and lift you higher and higher and higher. Because it's all about God. Realize it's all about God. Let me kind of back up just a second and tell you, you know, here in the United States, we talk about these things, and in the United States, there's always this kind of, following God full bore, full blast. It's always, In other countries, when people hear the gospel message, when they hear truth, they grab onto it, they alter their entire lives because of it instantaneously. And God blesses them for it. This one fellow I met in Madagascar, he was an amazing little guy, little rice farmer. And he actually was a Catholic, and he heard our program the first time, and it was on the Sabbath. And he went and he got a Bible. He had his Bible. He went and he looked it up. He said, this is the truth. This is the truth. I've got to follow it. And he went back to his church. He started telling everybody, we've got to keep the seventh-day Sabbath. They kicked him out of church, and he was the leader of that church. I said, what did you do? Well, he says, I wasn't going to be deterred. He said, because it was the truth. I went down the mountain looking for the people who were preaching that truth. He said, I spent some time to find out who, where the radio program was coming from. And he said, I found them. And he said, I studied with them and I was baptized. I came back up the mountain. I said, well, what'd you do then? He said, I built a church. And he pointed it across there in the valley. Here's this beautiful church in the side of the hill. He said, I used my own money, my own time, my own energy. My sons helped me, and we built that church. I said, well, that was wonderful. How many people were coming? Nobody. Nobody. He said, no, there wasn't anybody. But he said, I knew that there would be people coming. I said, do you have anybody now? Oh, yes, he says, I have 30 people that come regularly now. How's your faith today? How's your faith? God is looking for people with 100% commitment. 100% commitment, because he's doing incredible things, getting ready for his very soon coming. In Newbold College in England, our college there in England, there's a whole group of Muslim clerics, Muslim leaders that came, wanted to talk with our theology professors there at the college. Well, the professor said, what do you want? They said, we know that the Quran speaks of a people of the book. We know we're not it, speaking of themselves, but we think that Seventh-day Adventists are. We'd like to study with you. Studied with them for several weeks. At the end of that time, they said, we are absolutely convinced Seventh-day Adventists are the people of the book that the Quran speaks of. They spoke in our church there in England, and how I heard this was our chief engineer, AWR's chief engineer, that's his church. They spoke in that church on the final Sabbath, and guess what they said? What is the matter with you, Seventh-day Adventists? You have a message from God for us. Why are you not sharing it? Why are you not telling us? Why are you not preaching it to us? Interesting. From the Muslims. From the Muslims. In one country, we distribute CDs, and it's illegal. Though we box them up, though, and our names are on them and everything, and we put them all in little boxes, and a little moped goes putting down the street. And pretty soon on a street corner, it dumps them off. And a little while later, another moped comes, and he grabs it, picks them up, and goes on down the street, drops them off. A little while later, comes another guy, oh, a box, oh, cool, picks up a box, drives down the street. See, it's kind of like a New York drug deal. It's got plausible deniability, you know, I just found the box on the street. Well, the last guy had grabbed the box one day, and he's going down the street, and all of a sudden, this whole area is cordoned off because the police hate what we're doing. They're trying to find us, trying to stop us, and they're searching every vehicle, and our guy is in it. He thinks, this is it. I'm a dead man, or they're going to throw me in jail forever, one of the two. They get to his box. They slit it open. They open it up. They look at the DVDs. Remember our names on everyone. They look at everyone. They pull all the way out, all the way down the bottom of the box. They pile them all back in, seal up the box, send him on his way. They never saw them. They never saw them. How big is your God? How big is your God? In Vietnam, we're broadcasting into Vietnam, and work is starting to open up some now. Please keep that in your prayers. But for a long time, it's just been the underground work. And one young man heard our programs, and he gave his life to Christ. He eventually became a pastor. And he says to his members, he said, we need to take this DVD now. And it's a DVD that our actually producer lives in California, down in the Los Angeles area. He produces these, sneaks them in the country, and then they mass produce them and take them out and distribute them. The membership said, let's go to this particular city. Let's distribute them. They had no permission or anything else. They get to that city. As they start to distribute them, the people in the city, they don't want them at all, and the police send them out of the city. Well, he comes back. He's very discouraged. He is totally discouraged. He calls up our producer in L.A., and he said, this is what happened. Our producer said, you need to pray and fast for 30 days. Talk to God about this. So they prayed continually all week, every week, and they fasted every weekend. And I wonder, wow, you know, would I have that kind of dedication to God to do that? Well, the last weekend, the pastor's feeling a little discouraged because it seems like nothing is really happening. But he gets a knock on the door. He goes to the door, he opens the door, and there's a recognizable figure standing in his door, kind of this gruff, mean-looking guy, because he recognizes from television. He's one of the most wanted guys in this whole region. He runs all the criminal element, the underground and everything. He's the head of it. And he's standing there with one of those DVDs. He says, "I want to meet the guy who did this." The pastor says, "Well, I'm sorry, you can't meet him. But who you need to meet is Jesus Christ." "Well, who's he?" "Come in, I'll tell you." He spent 2 weeks with him, stayed at his house 2 weeks, and at the end of that 2 weeks, he was baptized. Now this fellow says, "Oh, we've got to share this with all of my people. You've got to come to this city. We're going to hold a big meeting." And come. The pastor's a little nervous about this. Remember, he just got kicked out of that city. And he says, no problem. Came there, held it for all of his criminal underground element, baptized 80 people, 80 leaders and their families. And then the leader said, "We need to hold a sit." And by the way, the cops and nobody did a thing because they were too scared to do a thing. And he said, "We need to hold a big citywide meeting." Pastor was a little nervous about it, but he followed along with their lead. And sure enough, they invited everybody, the cops, and nobody said a word again because it is all the all the criminal element that's leading the whole thing. And I mean, it just grew and grew and grew. When you take it to God, when you believe and ask Him for His blessing, God will bless in amazing ways. Have you found that in your own life? Think about it. Ellen White says, "Prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse where are treasured the boundless resources of omnipotence." Boundless resources of omnipotence. Why would we not want to go to God in prayer continually? If we've got the key, we've got the key to unlock incredible things. Got problems in your life? Go to God. God's got the answers. I met an Ethiopian fortune teller. We'd traveled for hours to get to this guy up in this village in the middle of nowhere. Talk with him. He'd been a fortune teller for 42 years. 42 years. And when you're a fortune teller, I mean, you've got power. You've got a lot of power. Because if I tell you to do something you don't, you could die. And if you die, you tell everybody else in the village, "He didn't pay attention to me, that's why he died." And of course, to tell a fortune, you collect a cow or a goat or chickens or a pig or something, you know, you're got a lot of money. And so he's pretty rich. One day he's tuning to the BBC News, comes across our program. And I will tell you that we set a lot of our programs as close as we can to the BBC News on purpose. Well, it comes across our program, stops and listens, and over a little short period of time, he falls in love with Christ. Says, "I no longer want anything to do with fortune teller," which made his wife and family very upset. Because the wife, you know, she was number one in that village along with the husband. And they had all the money. They had all the cattle, everything. And now the husband's saying, no, I want nothing to do with it anymore. Same time in that village, another guy came across our program, gave his heart to the Lord, told his brother, who in turn listened, gave his heart to the Lord. Same time, a guy in prison from this village, he comes across AWR, falls in love with Christ. He says, "I can't wait to get out of prison, because when I do, I'm going to come back to the village, tell everybody what I've discovered about Jesus Christ." Well, he gets out of prison shortly. He begins telling people, and he's discovering many had already been listening. They've all accepted Christ, and so they start forming a little church group. And then they said, "You know, we should do a house or a church hunting project here. Find a place so we can worship." And about that time, the ex-fortune teller's wife dies. Well, now as they're doing their church hunting project and things, and she dies, I've got five guys lined up on the day I was there, and I've got three cameras rolling. We're all listening. I asked the first guy, "The lady was dead?" "Oh, yeah, she was dead." Second guy, "Yeah, she was dead 3 days. Third guy, I asked him, I said, "Really dead 3 days?" "Yeah, she was dead 3 days." The fourth guy said, "We prayed for her." And the fifth guy said, "And God raised her from the dead." And that lady was standing there with us that day. And then she and the whole house and the whole family believed. That would tend to do it, wouldn't it? See, God is doing. God is in the business of power. He's got mighty power to share that will glorify Him. That's the key, that will glorify Him. And He's looking for people that He can trust with that power. He can't just trust any of us. He can only trust those who follow Him and surrender 100% to Him. Then He can trust those people with latter rain power, incredible power that He has ready, willing, and able to bestow upon us. How's my time here? I got a few minutes. I'm going to tell you about a young lady we're broadcasting. Again, country totally illegal to work in. And this young lady heard our program. She fell so deeply in love with Jesus Christ. And when it's in your life, in your heart, you just can't help but share it. She begins telling everybody about Jesus. And let me tell you what I've discovered. And she tells everybody about Christ. But now the cops catch up to her. They tie her hands behind her back. They blindfold her and they beat her up. They haul her out in the jungle in the middle of the night and they dump her off and said, "We're not going to kill you. We're going to let the jungle animals do it for us. See how big your God is." Wow. She's out there laying on the ground. She can hear the growls and the snarls of the animals, everything going on, scared to death. She's praying, "God, I don't want to die. Please, Lord, help me." Wow, she kind of wiggles. She gets her blindfold off. She's still on the ground. She can't quite get up yet, but she kind of wiggles a little bit. She looks, can't see anything, way too dark. Keeps praying. And then something funny happens with her hands. All of a sudden, her hands are loose. And she gets up and she turns and she looks, but she can't see anything where she is. It's just pitch black out. Saying, "God, I don't have any idea where I am. Please, Lord, help me. Please, Father, help me, will you?" And all of a sudden, the wind kind of begins picking up in the trees, and it's blowing, and it's blowing. And it's whipping the trees, and now her hair is starting to whip back. Her hair is whipping back harder and harder, and her stomach is feeling really funny. She doesn't know what's going on, and she keeps praying, though, and the wind's blowing harder and harder and harder. Now, listen to this. She is set down in the middle of the night in her village, completely free. Remember Philip? The book of Acts, transported. The same God of the book of Acts is the same God today. Same God today. Oh, here in the United States, us of little faith, you know, we kind of tend to doubt these things, but let me tell you, this stuff is happening around the world. God is working in mighty ways, and he wants to work in you and me. Whatever kind of miracles for you and me to lift us out of where we are, he's got the power, and he wants to do it. All we have to do is follow along and believe. Follow along and believe. A Muslim leader, excuse me, I've got to refuel here. A Muslim leader invited a local church, Seventh-day Adventist elder, to come to his mosque and speak, apparently with the idea of converting the local elder. But now before that local elder is ready to preach, oh, here comes my wife to fix my thing again. Before that local elder is ready to preach, God appears to this Muslim in a dream. And lo and behold, the Lord says to him, "Do not try and convert this man. He's my man. He has a message for you for today." Wow, okay. And for this fellow to get the message, God appeared to him two more times. Two more times. He appears as a man in white, typically, and he appeared to him in the same way and said, "Do not try and convert this man." Well, he ended up inviting this elder to speak in his mosque five times. At the end of the fifth time, he got on the internet and he typed a message out to his internet audience. "We need to be listening to Seventh-day Adventists. They have a message for us for this time." Anybody here care to guess how big his internet audience was? Is? 200,000 people. 200,000 people. We see God doing such incredible things with the Muslims on a regular basis, and God is appearing to them as a man in white so often. In our podcasting, you know, I talked to you about podcasting. We started buying Google ads. You know, on the right-hand side, how the Google ads pop up? We've been buying some Google ads and just testing it, broadcasting to the Arabic-speaking countries, only doing our ad in English, just in English, not even in Arabic. Have you had a dream or a vision? Discover who the man in white is. We're getting 60 to 100 click-throughs a day to our podcast from that English ad. Oh, I tell you, God is doing incredible things. It's not going to be long before the Lord returns. Sometimes people tell me, "Well, Jim, why don't things happen here in the United States like this?" Well, they are. They are. Not as much, but let me give you, first of all, a reason why not as much. Remember, Peter walked up to the temple steps and there was the beggar. And he's got his cup out, and Peter goes over to him. The guy thinks, oh, goody, goody, man, I'm going to get some money. But Peter pulls out his pocket and says, look, you know, I don't have any silver. I've got a chapstick. No silver. And he said, oh, no gold. And now the guy's heart kind of drops a notch. But such as I have, I give to you. Rise and walk. And the guy gets up, jumping up and down. Now, what did Peter have? Anybody? Yeah, had the Holy Spirit, right? Had the Spirit of God, the power of God in his life. What didn't he have? Gold or silver. In North America, so much. What do we have? Gold and silver. What don't we have? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We want to see mighty things going on? Spend more time at the feet of Jesus. Spend more time in prayer and study. Put your priorities square and straight, because there is only one thing we're going to take from this world to the next. Our character. Nothing else. No gold, no silver, just our character. That's the only thing. Well, Art Miller, his nephew lives up in Mount Shasta. Art Miller, doctor for many years, doctor in the Coast Guard. He was based out of Greenland. His tour of duty was up, and he said, man, I want to go home back to the United States, and I know a guy who's flying there tomorrow. I'm going to go knock at his door, see if I can get a ride back. He goes up to the guy's house. He starts to knock. Only something's funny. His hand will not hit the door. As hard as he swings, he cannot contact the door. He's a Seventh-day Adventist, and he knows something's haywire here. Something's not right. He goes back to his barracks. He gets down on his knees, and he opens his Bible. He just lays open his Bible. Normally he doesn't do it, he said, but he just laid open his Bible, and it opened to Isaiah. And then opened to Isaiah chapter 52. And then he just looks down, and he goes down to verse 12. And verse 12, amazingly, his eyes focus on this, and in the King James Version, he says, you shall not go out by haste or by flight. Wow. Got the message, God. Next day, one of the captains, one of the cutters, said, hey, we're taking off for the States. You'll come with us. He said, yeah. He gets on the boat, and he notices that plane he thought he was going to be on flies off in the distance. And it's going to be days for him to get back. So he's kind of, you know, a little forlorn, but he wanted to follow God. When they get into port in the United States, he found that all 12 of those men, the plane had crashed and killed everyone. It pays to follow God. It pays to follow God, because God wants to take care of us. Will everything always be good? No. But God, we're told, sees the end from the beginning. God, in eternity, steps in and out of time. He sees your life over here. He sees over here the tremendous possibilities of what he can do in your life and what he can make of your life. And he says, this is the way. I'd love that you walk in it. I already see it. Question is, will we? Will we? It's our choice. It's our free choice. God died to give us complete and total free choice. How big is God? How powerful is God? I met a lady down in Madagascar that she grew up in the family with witches and demons. All these things. Demons walked in the home. They talked with one another. Just like we're looking at one another today, and this is very common in these countries. They talked. And when she got old enough, the demons told her, we'd like to make you a witch. Oh, they said, we'll give you great power. Well, power sounded good to her. She says, okay, and they told her to go down to the river, where she went down to the river and met them, where she went underwater with them for a day and a half. I stopped the interview. I thought, I heard something wrong. Wouldn't you think that? I said, how long were you underwater? She says, I was underwater for 1.5 days. She said, there the demons fed me. Said they clothed me with their special clothes. They gave me power. I could control lightning. Said I could be shot with a gun. It wouldn't hurt me. One day the armies of the nation, said it made the newspapers. The army of the nation came to take over our village. I created potions that kept the whole army away. Powerful witch. Powerful. If anyone here today thinks that you can beat the devil on your own in this life, you are greatly mistaken. Because the devil was the fourth most powerful being in all the universe. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and Satan. He's got unbelievable powers. Far more than you are, but praise God. I've read my Bible from cover to cover, and God never loses. God is more powerful, and we can choose God. We can choose God. This woman was sick in bed. She said, I made the demons mad. I was sick. I went to this doctor and that doctor. I tried to get help. Nobody could heal me because the demons were so mad at me. She came in contact with two young ladies dressed very nicely, and these young ladies were Christians. They said, you know, we represent the God of heaven. We understand you're sick, and we'd like to pray for you. He can heal you. She said, well, the demons haven't done anything for me lately. Go ahead. Go ahead. And they prayed for her, and she was instantly healed. And then they gave her a radio and said, listen to this. And they tuned it to Adventist World Radio and said, it'll be a blessing to you. Well, she said, I listened and I fell in love with Jesus Christ. It was so exciting. She says, and then I was baptized. Now, it's really interesting. I asked her, I said, well, did the demons try and drown you or harass you when you're being baptized? Because I've seen that happen in other countries and other situations. She said, no, no. She said, because the people there said they prayed and fasted for me for 7 days. There it is again, prayer and fasting. And it says, but as soon as I came up out of the water, the devil was so mad, he burnt my house down that was right near the water's edge. Burn it to the ground. Oh, and she said, as soon as the flames cooled, I went kicking through the ashes looking for my Bible, and I found it. Said, it didn't smell like smoke, and it wasn't even hurt. And she said, because of that, many people in my village believed. And then she stopped me. She says, can you help me? I said, help you do what? Oh, she said, help me build a church. I said, why? She said, because I have 100 people now that have committed to Jesus Christ. God, my brothers and sisters, is more powerful. Tremendously more powerful. And God has that power for you and for me. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was up there, shared all these incredible things with the people. You need to have more religiosity, as it were, than the Pharisees and the scribes. You need to be better. And they're going, you got to be kidding me. Those guys are so high and lifted up. They've got all the nice clothes and everything. Jesus said, no, no, no. It's what's in the heart. And they're thinking, wow, how can we ever do this? Comes down off the mountain, chapters 8 and 9. Jesus, the devil throws at him every sick person he can think of, every dead person, everything. Jesus heals every single one of them. You realize Jesus, every village he went through, if he encountered somebody dead, he raised them from the dead, broke up every funeral he ever attended, according to Scripture. And then in chapter 10, he called the disciples over and said, guys, come here, got something. And he gave them power. This power, the ekousia power from the Greek, the authority of as the Creator God of heaven, he gave them this power. The dunamis power, where we get our word dynamite. The authority of God to handle every situation in a powerful way. He gave them that power. Now he says, go, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, do all these things, and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Later on, he gave that same power to the 70, and the 70 came back later and said, wow, Lord, all you said is true. All the demons are subject to us. Do you have demons in your life? You got problems in your life? Seem like you're harassed? You know, whatever it is, God is more powerful. God has the power he's willing, able, and ready to give to you if you surrender every day to him. Moment by moment. The bumper sticker, you see the bumper sticker from time to time, you know, God is my co-pilot. Wrong bumper sticker. Because you put God in the wrong seat. God needs to be the pilot in your life. So I ask you today, you hear, if you want God to be the pilot in your life, and God will give you the power to do it, you just need to give your will to God and he'll do it. If that's the case, I'd like you to stand right now. Say, God, I want you to be the pilot in my life today. Amen. 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 Let's have a prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your name. What a mighty God. What an incredible God. A God who came from heaven to be born in a woman, to come down here to planet Earth. How is it even possible? Only possible because you're God. And we thank you and praise you that you care for us so much. Now today you've seen every person here stand, Lord, and I pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to fill their lives right now. Give them courage and energy to walk in this calling from this day forward to become sons and daughters of yours, Lord. This is royalty training time. Please train us. Fit us for your kingdom. Fit us to be co-regents with you for eternity. Thank you so much. in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen.